Most merciful God, who gave your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, forgive us all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us real knowledge of you, and of your will, and real obedience to your word, so that by your grace, we will come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory.
Glory as the Son and the Father, full of grace and truth.
Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God.
For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting.
Great is our Lord, and abundant in power.
His understanding is beyond measure.
But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him.
In those who hope in his steadfast love.
Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem.
Praise your God, O Zion.
Thank you. Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Christmas is from the book of 1 Kings, the third chapter. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept him this great and steadfast love, and have given a son to him to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I have more understanding than all my teachers.
For your testimonies are my meditation.
Oh, how I love your law.
It is my meditation all the day.
Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies.
For it is ever with me.
I have more understanding than all my teachers.
For your testimonies are my meditation.
I understand more than the aged.
For I heed your precepts.
I hold back my feet from every evil way.
In order to keep your word.
I do not turn aside from your just decrees.
For you have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste.
Sweeter than honey to my heart.
Through your precepts I get understanding.
Therefore I hate every false way. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
I have more understanding than all my teachers. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us
in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. The child, Jesus, grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. And when they began to search for him among the relatives and acquaintances, when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all of these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
Thank you.
Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
At the beginning of today's gospel reading, this is what St. Luke says about Jesus' childhood. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. At the end of the reading, Jesus is found in the temple as a 12-year-old, and St. Luke again says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. How did Jesus get such wisdom? Sitting among the teachers in the temple, listening to them, asking questions? He has the wisdom way beyond the years of 12, answering his parents who are greatly distressed at having left him behind in Jerusalem. He has wisdom that they don't even understand. And yet, Jesus doesn't act like some know-it-all. He isn't too big for his britches. He also has the wisdom to know his place. So he returned with his earthly parents to Nazareth and was submissive to them. This is the profound wisdom of one who fears and loves God above all things. He doesn't despise his parents. Instead, he honors them, serves and obeys them, loves and cherishes them. Even as a child and a young man, Jesus was filled with wisdom. It seems that his own family and friends weren't sure of where it came from. Old Simeon had said that Jesus was appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that's opposed. We see this play out in the way people listened to Jesus. Some would be amazed by his understanding and his answers, and some would be angered by what he said and did. Some would drop everything and follow him. Some would shout for him to be crucified. God chose to shame the wise by what is foolish in this world, by a newborn baby laid in a manger, a 12-year-old teaching the teachers, an innocent man condemned to death by crucifixion. We can already begin to sense the questions that people will ask later on. Where does he get those things? Where is this wisdom given to him? How does his hands do such mighty works? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, whose brothers and sisters we know? His own hometown doesn't believe it. When he heals a man born blind on the Sabbath, the Pharisees say, "We know that this man is a sinner." They mean Jesus. They can't make heads or tails of him. Truly, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So, also, Joseph and Mary were astonished when they saw Jesus in the temple. They may have wondered, is this our son? We taught him how to run, to walk, hammer, and saw. But where did he learn this stuff? And how does he come to teach the teachers in Israel? And why does he treat us like this? God's ways are higher than their ways. His wisdom is deeper than their understanding. The wisdom of Jesus isn't like that of a child prodigy or a genius or a wonder kid. Something different is going on with him. This wisdom is his by nature. No one gave it to him, not even Mary or Joseph. It didn't come from experience or education or grace. He didn't read about it in a book or find it on YouTube. He is the wisdom behind creation, the wisdom that wrote the books of Moses and the Ten Commandments, that inspired the prophets, that spoke every psalm and proverb. He is the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God in human form. Now, there's a difference between the wisdom of Jesus and the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon was wise, yes, even one of the wisest people who ever lived. Yet he was not wise by nature. He knew this all too well, and because he wasn't wise, he prayed for wisdom. You, O God, have made me king in a place of my father, David, although I'm only a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your chosen people, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give me an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And as it says in the book of James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. God heard Solomon's prayer for wisdom. He gave him wisdom to rule long and well for the good of his people, wisdom in judgment about human affairs with respect to the created world, wisdom for life in this fallen world. We are like Solomon, not like Jesus. We're like little children. Wisdom doesn't come naturally to us. We don't know what to do. How to love, how to serve, how to discern between good and evil. We aren't up to the work that we're given to love husband or wife, raise children, care for family members, be good citizens, friends and neighbors. Let us do our work or have dominion over the creation. Left to ourselves, we bring it all to ruin, and too often we all have. Too often, we've relied on our own wisdom and become fools. Others have suffered because of it. What's true for me is true for all. In myself, I lack an understanding mind. I fail to discern between good and evil, and I don't have the wisdom to serve or govern well. It's too much for all of us. Thank God he has what we lack. Thank God he hears our prayers, and thank God he gives wisdom. But let Solomon be a warning to us. While his long reign was marked by great wisdom, in old age it becomes a perfect picture of wisdom disconnected from God. He forgot that it's a gift. He let it go to his head. He became too wise for his own good. Like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he tried to be wiser than God. But Jesus is greater than Solomon. He comes to the Father's house. The spirit of wisdom rests on him. True wisdom doesn't seek to impress others. It doesn't seek its own honor, its own praise. It doesn't seek power or wealth. It isn't the same as smarts or intellectual ability or degrees, and it doesn't necessarily increase with age or experience. It grows with use. When Scripture says that Jesus increased in wisdom, it doesn't mean that he was lacking it. It means that as a man, he was putting it to use. At every age, every stage, he lived wisely. True wisdom is selfless. It doesn't serve itself. It serves others. It comes from God and is present in Christ, revealed in his word. It can only be used rightly in connection with God. It keeps his commandments. It loves him, and it loves others. This is the wisdom that we see in Jesus, the wisdom that brings him to the Father's house. The wisdom that makes him be about his Father's business, calls him to do the Father's will. He had the wisdom to judge rightly, to love completely and live fully. He looked at us and saw what we needed. He knew his place. If he was to love the Father and serve us, that place was the cross. Wisdom sent him there, knew what the law demanded and did it. Loved God perfectly and loved you perfectly. Suffered the death that only fools deserve. The shame, the mockery, and the suffering of the cross. Jesus is there in the Father's house as true wisdom, obedient to the law, full of love, that seeks itself, that does not seek itself but others, increases all the way to the cross. Do any of us lack wisdom? It's yours, in Jesus and in his word. The wisdom that you need to live, to love, and to serve. Of his mercy toward you. Wisdom of his forgiveness to you. The wisdom of his eternal, undying love that is yours. And the more we have Jesus, the more we grow in this wisdom. What is his by nature is yours by grace. It's his gift to you, given again and again and again. As St. Paul says, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. And so we too become the children of wisdom through faith in Christ Jesus. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that your Son, the Eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Extend his praise into all the world, that many more with us would come to hope in his steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, your Son diligently heard the word of God and grew in wisdom and stature, submissive to his earthly parents and always about your business and in your house. Keep the families of your church abiding in your word, eager to be found among your word and sacraments, and always treasuring your divine wisdom and favor. Grant your care and blessing to all mothers and child. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in Christ, your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Preserve your church by the preaching of the gospel of salvation and the seal of the promised Holy Spirit in baptism. Raise up among us faithful preachers to the praise of Christ's glory until we acquire the inheritance promised us in him. We give thanks for the service of Vicar Schneeflock among us and in Troy, and we ask for your blessing to bless him and Kathy, his continued studies and serving. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you gave to your servant Solomon unsurpassed wisdom to rule your people Israel, chiefly the wisdom that begins in fearing you. Give to the leaders and elected officials of our nation wisdom for their task to discern between good and evil, and to govern this people in peace and quietness. Be gracious and preserve our president and president-elect, our governor and all legislators and judges. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, give patience and endurance to all who are sick or are in need, especially Virginia, Luca, Christine, Gary, George and Nancy, Bud, Phyllis, Emily, and all who have the coronavirus, especially Vicar and Kathy Schneeflock, the members of Christ Lutheran Church in Troy, Cheryl Wade's sister Raylene and her family, and heal them according to your will. Receive our thanksgiving for every blessing and kindness that you have shown to your people. Give comfort and hope to all who mourn, especially Marge and her extended family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.